to the second news on our new NHL team. We take you to a Fab 94.3 special edition of Hustler and Lawless from Sports Radio 1290. Congratulations, Manitoba. After 15 years, we did it.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Coming to you live from Tavern United downtown, home next to the home of the MTS Center, the home of the NHL in Winnipeg. My name is Drew Mindell. I'm the host of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, joined around the table at this moment by Michael Remus. He's the typical operator of the R Desk on Illegal Curve. He's going to join us on air for a little while. Jay Richardson, you know him from 99.9 Bob FM, and Ezra Ginsberg from the Illegal Curve. Gentlemen, we're going to be with our listening audience until about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock this evening. Good evening. What an exciting day we've seen so far here in the city of Winnipeg.
What radio station are we on right now?
Fab 94.3, Ezra. Fab 94.3.
I know we're at the Tavern downtown. I just wanted to make sure that I knew what radio station we were on.
There you
go. I know that I've been with Jay for, what, 8 hours now, Jay?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all starting to blend together at this point in time.
Yeah.
Really what's been bringing it home for me is the reaction from everybody who's come down to downtown Winnipeg. And to Tavern as well. I didn't know there were this many Jets jerseys. I had a suspicion there were this many Jets jerseys in the city, but I didn't have that confirmed until earlier today. But we even got somebody with the old standard one side home, one side away Jets jersey.
Scarface Winnipeg Jets jersey.
Yeah.
Black and white.
Stitched that sucker together.
You've seen some great incarnations of Jets jerseys down here at Tavern United throughout the day today. And now, Michael, you were down at Portage and Main earlier in the afternoon. Describe for the audience, you know, those who may have been stuck at the office, of course, listening to us previously on Sports Radio 1290, now on Fab 94.3. Describe the atmosphere down at Portage and Main. What did you see from your office down? What did you see from this live on scene?
You know, Drew, I was lucky enough to be in an office where, you know, leading up to 11 o'clock, there were a lot of people, you know, on their computers, maybe watching the announcement on TSN and getting ready. And as it got closer to 11, my entire office, we all walked down to the Can West building. They had the press conference in front. Before it began, they were showing Jets highlights. There's, you know, a lot of people from the business area, Portage and Main, were outside gathering. Then they started blocking off the street. People were running up and down playing hockey. And then the announcement came on, and everyone was watching. There was cheering. You know, Gary Bettman came on. There was light booze. Big cheers for Chipman.
I'm surprised at the light booze.
No, I think a light booze is about as good as Gary Bettman can ever hope for.
That's thunderous applause in Gary Bettman land.
That's the truth of the matter is. I mean, the irony of the entire situation, of course. I think this was the best, my favorite part so far of the day. Is that the first time Gary Bettman has ever been in Winnipeg since 1996 was earlier today.
Yeah.
I mean, that blows my mind because how many different sightings of Gary Bettman have there been at various restaurants and everywhere in the city of Winnipeg you can imagine Gary Bettman has supposedly been there.
Let's be honest, guys. In this day and age, there's absolutely no reason that anybody has to conduct face-to-face business anymore.
No.
Everybody who's been going off on these rumors on Twitter and Facebook about Gary Bettman being in the city over the past couple months, come on, guys. Have you heard of a cell phone? Have you heard of email? There's really no reason other than today where he needs to show up at the press conference, and we probably won't see him. I know he does his tour of all 30 NHL cities over the course of the year. We might see Gary Bettman once a year from now until the point that we actually win the Stanley Cup, which hopefully won't be too long from now. He could come on the MTS Center Ice and present that thing to Andrew Ladd anytime.
That's right. You know, Gary Bettman is like a referee at a hockey game. You never want to know who he is. You never want to know his name. You never want him to be front and center ever.
Yeah, he's doing his job the best when you barely notice.
That's right. You don't want him. You want him to be talking about the situation going on in Florida, the situation going on in Phoenix, see if they can steal another $25 million from the taxpayers. You don't want him. You don't want to see Gary Bettman giving any press conferences in Winnipeg anytime soon.
Aren't you guys glad that we don't have to deal with worrying about failing franchises anymore? Like, I mean, I'd love to see Quebec City and maybe Hartford, maybe Seattle, maybe some of our northern folks, another team in southern Ontario get a team. But I'm not living and dying by it anymore.
You're absolutely not. But that name that you said there, and that's a name, you know, there's talk about, you know, they obviously want to keep some teams. There's other teams that are in trouble.
Yep.
And they need to find destinations for these teams. And I don't think Seattle has proven to be a viable NHL market.
They don't have an arena yet.
They don't have an arena. Kansas City has an arena. They've never had any interest in maintaining a hockey team. So that, to me, is a bit of a non-starter. Hartford is an interesting, I think, a city that if they can get, I'm not sure what their arena situation fully is at, but if they can get a proper arena up and running there, that's an interesting destination, I think, for the NHL to return to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the old Whalers-Bruins rivalry that existed for years would be a wonderful thing for the NHL to get their claws back.
Absolutely.
I know they had the outdoor AHL game earlier this year, which drew thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about their arena situation or their ownership situation, but Hartford's definitely one of those places that you give it a couple years. I mean, there's no place, really. Quebec still doesn't have an arena, but you give them a few years, you give, because I mean, that's really, if you look at how long it took Phoenix to get to the point where they were about ready to, maybe not ready to move, that's a couple years. You give those guys a couple year head start, who knows what's going to be happening by 2015, for example.
Let's talk, I mean, we're obviously going to spend the next 3 hours talking about this in Winnipeg, so we're, I mean, I'm not sure why we're talking about other destinations right now, but that's okay. Quebec City.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that they're next in line. They probably are certainly on the NHL's radar, despite what Gary Bettman said in the press conference earlier today. But first and foremost, they need to build that arena. And as we've proven with the beautiful building that I'm staring out the window looking at, the MTS Center, you don't need to build a $400 million arena financed strictly by taxpayer dollars. It's not realistic.
Well, they were going to build it out of pine wood exclusively and all sorts of ridiculous things.
It had a moat,
right?
Yeah, I've gone crazy about this on the show for the number of weeks now. But it doesn't need a moat. You get $150 million from a private citizen. There's a couple wealthy people in Quebec who can afford it. You know, they can put that arena together. They can put a deal together. And as soon as they build that arena, you're telling me that the NHL is not going to look at that market as a destination for its failing franchises?
I was told earlier today, I'm not 100% sure because I haven't seen any sort of confirmational link or anything like that, but Quebecor, the entity, they started an all sports channel today in Quebec.
I haven't seen that. It's quite possible. But that's his name's Pierre-Marc Pelletot.
Yeah.
And he is, I mean, he owns the Sun Media chain, which we're all familiar with. But for whatever reason, they're demanding an entire taxpayer-funded arena. It's not viable.
I think one of the most important things here is that we got the ball rolling. The city of Winnipeg got the relocation ball rolling, so to speak. And if you think for a second that, you know, there weren't hundreds of thousands of people in Quebec City watching what's going on in Winnipeg and applauding what's going on here, then you know you're mistaken, because they are next you know, on the pecking order as far as getting a team back. And you know, they might not have a brand new arena, but it looks like by all accounts they're going
to
get their new
arena.
They
need to get it.
And
before
they also deserve to get a team, because as far as the NHL is concerned, they have a couple of franchises that aren't going to be able to stay in their current cities very long, Phoenix being probably the one that's at the top list, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Boy, if you want to find a model for attracting a failing franchise back to your city, I mean, there's no better place to look than what True North Sports Entertainment has done over the past 5 years.
That's right. And, I mean, yep. Quebec City might be fooling themselves a little bit if they think that they can just plop an arena in there and it'll magically an NHL team will appear. You look at the legwork and how True North had to prove themselves while running their AHL franchise for all these years. They have done such a fantastic job. And you can't stress it enough. You can't stress it enough how important the class and quality of an organization that True North has demonstrated to be that's brought us to this point where the NHL is now coming back to Winnipeg.
True North is Santa Claus, and today was Christmas. And
have we
True
all been
North
very good boys and girls? Is that what you're saying?
Our present, which was an NHL team. And
now,
True North,
can you make that a better analogy for the three Jewish guys around the table? True North is Hanukkah Harry.
Hanukkah Harry.
Yeah, Santa Claus' sleigh is broken down.
You know, funny, we got Harry right here.
Yeah, no, that's a different Harry altogether.
I said on my radio show on Bob this morning that if I ever got an opportunity to see David Thompson, I would probably be overwhelmed with the compulsion to give him a big hug, and then I would probably get tasered to death by
a
security.
I'm pretty sure David Thompson is like the Canadian Trump. You said that to me. You were standing beside me.
With slightly less publicity.
He's got Trump-like hair.
He's got great hair, but is that what you imagined he looked like? I've never seen the guy before today.
I've seen pictures of David Thompson. I had never in my life heard David Thompson speak until he answered a question at the press conference. How are you? This is what I don't understand. Donald Trump, pay attention. How are you the 17th richest man in the world, richest man in Canada, and barely anybody has even heard you speak? Now, there's a guy, if you want to talk about the NHL enjoying, you know, prospective franchise owners who fly under the radar, how can you be the richest man in Canada and fly that far under the radar? I had no idea what his voice sounded like until today.
And I mean, doesn't that sound like the kind of owner the NHL would want?
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, isn't that, you know, Jim Balsillie, if you're listening, and I have to assume that you are, you know, you might want to take a lesson or two here. You know, the textbook, if they had to write a textbook on how to acquire an NHL team, what they just did is how you do it. You don't say anything. You don't talk out of turn. You wait until they want you to speak, and then that's when they want you to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... They were so smart in how they went about it.
We do have one more step to take care
That's
of.
That's right.
And I think it's very important that we get the message out as much as possible.
13,000.
The drive for 13.com is the website. And there's a real opportunity here for us to make our voice heard. And that's the one doubt that, I mean, I've been following this story. I've been following Jets owner and the websites for years and years now. And the one thing that people have always said is, can Winnipeg support an NHL team? And over the next week, we really have an opportunity to step up and maybe make – it's an opportunity to make those people eat their words and to show just how excited and passionate we are about NHL hockey here in the city.
You and I were talking on air earlier this afternoon, and we sort of crunched the numbers. And, you know, we guesstimated 5,500 Moose season ticket holders.
That figure's been up. It's about 6,500.
6,500 to 7,000. So let's take 6,500 as a nice round number.
Okay.
You know, if 80% of those people continue to be Jets season ticket holders, that's 5,000 people right off the top.
And every season ticket holder has an opportunity to buy 4 tickets.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, the tickets to the public, I mean, I think they will go on sale, but they're not going to last long.
No, you're right.
There's not going to be many of them.
And that's always been sort of our trump card and why people have said that the size of the arena is a disadvantage for us in the 15 seats. That's something that's definitely going to work in our advantage, because you're right. As soon as the Moose season ticket holders, who God bless them, have supported and financed pro hockey here in Manitoba for the past 15 years, as soon as they get their crack at it, whatever's left, it's going to be a mad scramble starting Saturday at noon to get a hold of those tickets.
I don't think there's going to be one single season ticket holder of the Manitoba Moose that doesn't switch over their tickets
to NHL
hockey.
There may be some.
I think there's a lot of people that are already worried about not getting season tickets for the NHL, which is obviously a really good sign. And you're right, Jay. We're going to quickly see how quickly people are going to rally behind the NHL coming back. And I think, you know, just based on the scuttlebutt we're hearing of people watching the press conference here at the Tavern, a lot of people think that the tickets are reasonably based on other cities in the NHL.
People were applauding.
They're going to sell very, very well. And that's going to prove to everybody, if there are still naysayers, I mean, and if there are naysayers that are at this point, they're just pooping on our parade of getting the Jets back. But I think True North isn't concerned that they're going to have trouble selling out that arena on a regular basis. So
and to break it down, we're looking at Moose season ticket holders. Anybody who's had a mini pack or who has had season tickets, it's based on seniority. So if you've had 15 years of season tickets, you're going to get the email first. You're going to be asked to put a deposit down. There's an option for monthly payments, but if you're a Moose season ticket holder, you're going to get first crack at it starting tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
That pre-sale is going to go until Friday at 10 p.m. And then the tickets will open up to the general public Saturday starting at 12 o'clock noon. Driveforthirteen.com is the website. You have a day or so to familiarize yourself with the layout of the website to make sure that you get exactly what it is that you want to get your season tickets for 2011, 2012, and moving forward.
And another great part about the way that this has been structured, I mean, you have to make a three-year commitment for the least expensive seats in the building.
Yeah.
Minimum of a three-year commitment. And, you know, for people at home who might be concerned, you know, what happens if I sign up for year one and then in year two they try and jack up the prices way up on me? True North has said they will not increase it by more than 3% annually.
Yeah.
Which is a reasonable number.
Very reasonable.
That's a cost of living. That's an inflationary number. That's just in line with everything else that they've done. Marketing, we shouldn't be surprised given what we know about how smart True North is.
Yeah.
But the research and their market studies and everything that they've done before unveiling all this information has been top-notch.
Well, we had an opportunity to talk to Scott Brown.
That's right.
On Hustler and Lawless on Sports Radio 1290 earlier this afternoon. And he had said that as early as 2007, they had a very extensive sit-down with the folks at the Edmonton Oilers to crack open their books and sort of take a look at their season ticket pricing structure. And you saw the graphic on TSN earlier today where it compared the prices of Winnipeg here with Edmonton, with Calgary, and with Ottawa. They're very comparable to all three of those cities.
And that's where it should be. It should fall perfectly in line. I mean, I've said this, I lived in Ottawa for a number of years, and I had the occasion to go to a few Sens games here and then. And never once did I find the tickets to be unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just thought that, oh, yeah, that's okay. That's what I'm going to pay for to see a professional sport. That's what it boils down to. I mean, these are what the prices now are. It's just in line with what people's expectations should be. I mean, it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's nothing unreasonable. True North knows exactly what this market will allow as a high ticket price and what they'll accept as a low ticket price, and they seem to have found a balance with it. Especially, like you said, when's the last time a price something caused you to come up and cheer in celebration?
In the job that I have, we get the concert announcements all the time and they lay out the pricing structure right there. And more over the past 5 years, I found myself aghast at some of the prices that these artists are trying to charge for a concert thing. And I realize you're comparing a one-time charge to something that you're expected to pay 41 nights a year.
Yeah.
But that was extremely reasonable. I was doubtful. I was wondering, am I going to be able to afford season tickets? And then I saw the pricing structure. I knew there's no way I'm going to have a problem with it.
Well, you know, the one thing to compare a concert to a hockey game is, you know, when you go to a concert, they'll usually have, you know, one price for the first level, one price for the second level, one price for the floor. But here, there's prices, you know, for the front of a section and the back of a section. I'm really applaud True North on the research they've done to come out with, you know, seven levels of pricing as opposed to maybe one, two, or three.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's a good point that you made there, Remus. You look at it, and I mean, Seinfeld's coming to Winnipeg, and they just released his ticket prices. $80 and $100, that's it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you are in the arena for those seats. I mean, you could be way up in the nosebleeds, and you're going to be paying a minimum of $80 plus all the service fees for them. You're telling me that people in Winnipeg aren't a big league town? I mean, I said this earlier to you today as well. 50,000 people at U2 on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Average ticket price, let's say $50, and I think it was probably more. People forked it over and they didn't think twice. People will pay for quality. They have, you know, we're blessed to live in a town that hasn't suffered the economic downturn. Our unemployment rate is about 5%. We have a strong economy. It's stable. People seem to have disposable income.
You're right.
They want to spend it, and they're going to spend it on an NHL team.
Yeah, and if you're telling me that there aren't as many hockey fans in Manitoba as there are U2 fans, you're delusional.
And you know what? Supply and demand.
I hope there aren't more U2 fans than hockey fans.
That would
be depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Supply and demand. Supply is going to be small. Demand is going to be huge. That's a seller's recipe for success right there. Let's leave it there, guys. Let's go to break. You're listening to a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Fab 94.3. We're going to be with you at Tavern United all night long. Come join us. Good evening, Winnipeg, live from Tavern United in downtown Winnipeg. This is a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Combination of Sports Radio 1290 appearing live on Fab 94.3. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined around the table by Michael Remus. He's the operator of the R Desk. You can talk to Michael. You can tweet at us at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to start taking some of your calls, so get ready for that. Ezra Ginsberg has joined me. You heard from him in the first segment. And Richard Pollock is fresh off an interview in Regina and Saskatoon. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Drew. Looking forward to the next few hours here.
Yeah, you look like you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I was, you know, hit a wall a bit, but we were off the air when I hit a wall, luckily.
Yeah.
Now I'm back, rejuvenated, ready to go.
Richie, do you have going on two stations or just one?
Yeah, I'm checking right now. I think it's actually a TVN radio.
Oh, you're going to have really to leave sure. to do another interview. Look at this guy.
No.
TVN radio.
I don't know.
Were you in that explain the makeup you're wearing, or is that a completely different
that's
reason
just,
altogether?
That's just a daily.
Daily rouge.
I just put that on.
Okay. Well, it's reasonable. Yeah. That's reasonable. Anyways, welcome back. You're on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on Sports Radio 1290 on Fab 94.3 Special Edition. We're going to be with you throughout the course of the day. Our continuing coverage of the official return of the NHL to Winnipeg, a day really 16 years in the making, a day we've been very much looking forward to.
Is it 15 years or 16 years?
Well,
1996 to 2011.
I guess it's 15 years, but
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter, really, does it? It's 15
it's
or 16.
16 from when they announced that they were leaving, 15 from when they officially left.
Yeah.
How about that?
Apples and oranges,
that's right?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. We were just talking about the ticket drive and the drive to 13.com. Are you insulted at all that the NHL seems to have imposed this drive?
I just said it on Regina Radio. I'm not sure if that was something imposed by Gary Bettman or something that Chipman and Thompson suggested.
You know, I don't know if it was imposed by the NHL, but I think that True North came out and said, you know, if we want this to be successful, we need to sell this many tickets. We want to reach this goal. You know, if they sell 10,000, 11, I think we can still be successful. But to, you know, ensure that this is going to work, 13,000 is the number.
And that's true. I mean, when you have, if they do get to that threshold by Sunday, which we would hope, something like that, regardless of when it is, if it is met, you have 3 years of guaranteed 13,000 people in your arena, and 5 years for some, for the more expensive ones, which probably are more important to ownership.
Sure, because those are the ones that there's probably a smaller pool that are going to be able to purchase those tickets.
I think in this way, now, I'm not so sure this played a factor in the decision-making, but you're a team. You're Atlanta. You know, I have a piece coming up tomorrow. You're probably 4 to 6 players away from really being a true contender. The next 3 to 5 years are the 3 to 5 years you're probably building. When those contracts are up, that's when you hope to have a contender. It should be a given.
Those people renew 5 years from now is what you're saying.
You're thinking maybe, and if they have to review for another 5 or 3, then you're looking 10 years of successful hit sales.
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, True North have proven themselves to be such smart businessmen over the last 15 years. I think the NHL will work here for a number of reasons that it didn't work in 1996. The arena first and foremost, the city second. But, I mean, I don't think you can factor in how smart of business people True North really are that are going to make it last.
You know, Drew, I was on the radio earlier on in New York, and they said to me, you know, after this honeymoon period goes on, maybe the team isn't successful. What's going to happen? And the only answer I could really think of is, you know what, True North are a smart group of guys. They, you know, have good hockey sense. They know how to run a team. They've got a lot of experience. I see this team being competitive, you know, for a playoff spot, you know, for a while, you know, with these 3-point games. And 8 teams
That's
make the
true.
Playoffs.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a chance now.
Somebody asked me, we were over here before when we were off there. Somebody asked me, is this team a team that can compete for the 7 and 8 spot? And I said, every team can compete for the 7 and 8 spot. You know, except for your Edmonton this year, a couple of teams that really tanked and probably for the most part on purpose.
Yeah.
Every team has a shot. That's the 3-point game. Columbus looks like they had a terrible year this year. But if you were to read the Columbus Dispatch in March, thought they had a shot.
Well, Richie, the Atlanta Thrashers were
5 points.
They were the Atlanta Thrashers were very much, you know, at the top of the Southeast Division up until the halfway point when they went into the tank. We're not getting a bad hockey team here. We're not getting a team that can't compete for a spot in the Eastern Conference, even though it's really weird that we're going to be in the Eastern Conference. It's definitely not unthinkable that we put a very competitive product on the ice. And just to get back to what you were talking about, Drew, about, you know, the factors that will lead to our team being a success, I think we have to assume that we can't fail. I mean, this is our second shot at being in the NHL, and I think that over the past 15 years, the appetite, people are salivating. People are absolutely salivating at the chance to buy season tickets. I mean, you're talking to people, and they're talking about splitting tickets with 3, 4, 6, 7, 8 people. People want to support this team. people want to support the NHL. And I don't believe for a second that we're going to.
I agree with you, Ezzy. I don't think that this is a failing venture either. The truth of the matter is, and I mean, I don't know this for certain, but given the activity that goes on at the MTS Center on a night-in, night-out basis, aside from hockey, mm-hmm. all other events, in the past week, Kid Rock, the WWE was in town. The U2 concert was a joint venture between True North and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It seems like the money that they're going to generate from ticket revenue is just gravy. It's just bonus. It doesn't seem like that the ticket revenue, I know the NHL is a gate-driven league, but sure. It doesn't seem like it's the only revenue that True North can rely on.
And we spoke about it, I mean, of course, outside of hockey you're speaking about, and we spoke about inside of hockey.
Yeah.
The new U.S. television deal.
$7 million a year.
The new Canadian deal up next year. They're going to get some money from this one. Geez, $100 million a year this one? I'm not exactly sure. Whatever it was total. They're going to have a new Canadian contract, which is going to be a crazy bidding after this season, I believe.
That's right.
So there's two revenue streams within the NHL scheme of things. Now, of course, revenue sharing is based on a number of factors. Winnipeg isn't disqualified from revenue sharing by any means. I mean, I have to look more deeply into the factors to see whether the city or the team, more importantly, would be eligible for revenue sharing or not. But there's many reasons why it works.
I don't think they're going to need to be. I don't think they're going to be eligible for revenue sharing. I think that their revenue is going to be too high to be revenue sharing eligible.
I have to look into it, but. One thing is, Drew, to be eligible for revenue sharing in a smaller market, you need to sell a certain amount of tickets. Otherwise, they drop you.
Like
100%.
Now, I believe it was Columbus this year. They did not get their revenue sharing money in return because they didn't sell the threshold that they needed to break.
The system is favorable in that if you do, you know, if you don't get it, you drop. But if you get a certain threshold, you pop right back up to the top again. So it's favorable to the fan bases. But hopefully that's not even a factor. And I think one thing I want to go on a complete aside, though. So can we talk about Gary Bettman for a second here?
Yes, please.
Gary Bettman, he did not endear himself to the Winnipeg fans today. His performance, as far as I'm concerned, was very poor. He came off not angry, but disappointed. I understand the excitement demonstrate a sense of excitement, whether he's excited or not, because of the job and what his job entails.
Richie, let's be honest. But, he came across as a buzzkill and someone who did not want to be here. Let's not mince words here. He didn't want to be here,
and I understand it's in, you know, the contract essentially, but with the fans now that they need to sell for 3 to 5 years. But he essentially told the fans, it won't work here, period. If you can't sell 13,000 season tickets. Well, I watched a lot of games, not every game, but I watched a heck of a lot of Atlanta games last year. Nobody there.
And it's not like it's only Atlanta. There's nobody in Miami.
Nobody in Miami.
There's nobody in Phoenix as
nobody
well dodged.
Don't come in.
There was nobody in Dallas either.
There's nobody in Dallas. Don't come in to a market that's salivating for hockey, that people are lined up everywhere. This isn't making much of a dent in Atlanta. Are salivating at the idea of NHL hockey returning, and then come up and threaten, well, if you don't do this. Why don't you just give people a 20-minute reprieve from your NHL speak? 20-minute reprieve is all people are asking for. Maybe an hour if you're generous. And it comes right up there, and that's how he comes off. And I'm sorry. I have to say it. He needs to go to PR school or something like that, because he comes off awful. It's awful the way he comes off. And another thing. As a fan base who has absolutely done everything necessary, buying tickets for the Moose, supporting the Moose, doing what they have, and an ownership, even the ownership, that is the only reason really that the team's coming back. And to make a comment like that, I just thought it was, and then in the tone, Drew, the tone.
Of course. It's not arrogance, it's...
You know what?
I mean, it's a word that I can't really use on air.
It's arrogant.
We as a city, and you know what? It's a motivating factor. And we've always kind of been motivated by the doubters. We as a city probably become more motivated by that to buy the tickets. To show him, in quotes, show him we really are.
That's right. Sell the 13,000 season tickets. Sell them on Sunday and say to Gary, go worry about any of your other failing franchises. We'll see you back here to present us the cup 10 years from now or 5 years from now or whatever it is.
Wait, Gary, Drew, don't you have to meet Gary at 529 for a dinner date?
No, he canceled on me. So that's why I'm really mad at him.
You know, the thing about Gary Bettman is whenever he does any of these radio appearances or goes out in public, do you believe a thing that the guy says?
No.
He comes out on the podium, the first thing he says, we get back to a place we wish we had. in 1996. Like, okay, really? Do you think he really thinks that? And his head, he's saying, like, why am I here? Like, why are we coming back here? Why isn't there someone in Atlanta who wants to purchase this team?
Well, there's nobody in Atlanta that wants to purchase it because it's hockey doesn't belong in Atlanta. And for all the Thrashers fans who are hardcore fans, I love you and my heart goes out to you today. But hockey is not, it doesn't have a market there. It just doesn't. And could have been established a beachhead if the team was good and if it had proper, if it was run properly and if the ownership group wasn't in court for the last 5 years fighting each other, maybe. And it's unfortunate that we'll never know. But, you know, they had every opportunity. Somebody in Atlanta could have bought that team.
That's right.
And he didn't. Now, that's probably a smart business decision by somebody in Atlanta.
Well, no, Drew. If a businessman who thought he could hire, like a Jeff Vinnick, thought he could hire smart ownership, so smart management.
And Jeff Vinnick being the owner in Tampa Bay,
sorry,
who hired Steve Yzerman.
Thought he could hire. So if the ASG or something within that group or anybody else, thought they could buy the team, hire what they deem to be very competent management, and it's a winner. Somebody probably contemplated that and probably still thought they couldn't make money.
Well, because they wouldn't have owned the arena. In this day and age, you cannot be a successful sports franchise, and I'm talking successful in the bottom line, in the dollars and cents of the equation. You cannot be successful without owning your own facility. You can't afford to pay, to pay rent or lease of the building for 41 nights a year,
right,
and then not get any other revenue from any other sources.
Right,
it just financially doesn't work,
That's why they've been in a position. That's why we've been in the position, but True North specifically has been in the position to negotiate to bring back a team to Winnipeg because they've owned the arena and they control all revenue streams and all that. And
it's in motion for so long, Yancy. I mean, the practice facility on Portage, that'll be the whatever the team's name is, practice facility.
Yep. Yeah.
These things were in line far.
Of course. Yeah. They didn't build that. I mean, they built that iceplex because we needed, I mean, there's a need for it. There's a need for always more sheets of ice. But you're telling me they built it to those NHL calibers and the standard because they were hoping that the beer league was going to play in
it? And they put $1 million into a press box on a whim. They may get the NHL.
They knew it. Well, it's like we found out. The drivethe13.com was registered as a website February 28th. Well, last time I checked, today is, what is it, May 30th?
May
31st. So, 5 months ago, they knew that, or 3 months ago, they knew this was a distinct possibility.
And when they unveiled their plan today, everybody realized exactly what they had put into this, a lot of thought. There was a plan in place. And that's, I'll tell you one thing, from a fan perspective of watching different sports, the fans of teams who have ownership that are smart and have a plan generally reap the rewards of that plan eventually.
You know, that's the difference between here and any other cities. You can throw out Quebec, you can throw out Kansas City, you can throw out Seattle, but the difference here is we have ownership who's smart, business savvy, they care, and they know what they're doing, and that's exactly why it failed in Atlanta, because they didn't have all of that.
Guys, before we head to break momentarily, this comes from Helene Elliott. She's a writer from the Los Angeles Times.
Mm-hmm.
She reached out to Timu Solani, and she got the following quote from Timu. Timu Solani says the following: I'm so happy for the city of Winnipeg and the fans. It's always been a very special place for me. There's a reason why it's called Friendly Manitoba. It's obviously sad for Atlanta fans, but it will be great to see NHL hockey in Winnipeg again. The reaction to when Timu comes here, and he will be here this year.
Based on the schedule, as a listener called us and told us a few weeks ago, if Winnipeg is in, and it looks like they'll be in the Southeast Division, you only play teams in the other conference once a year, and it alternates between home and away. It happens to be that this year, the Anaheim Ducks will be visiting Winnipeg.
The Pacific Division, so we'll be visiting the Southeast Division clubs this year. So we will see Timu Solani in Winnipeg, and the reaction that Timu is likely to get might be, I mean, it's going to blow the roof off of the arena. People want to see him, and they want to celebrate him.
He is the most beloved one of the most beloved Winnipeg Jets of all time, up there with Bobby Hull.
I think he's probably the most beloved Winnipeg sports figure.
Maybe, there's generation gaps, I think.
Yeah, there's always generation gaps, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me if he's the number one beloved sports figure in the city.
You could argue it.
Yeah.
Drew, it's amazing that it just so happens that the Anaheim Ducks are going to play our team that we're inheriting in the Eastern Conference, and I think it's safe to say that we'll probably see 6,000 Solani jerseys, but it's very fitting because, in my opinion, he was the most popular Winnipeg Jet because of what he did in his rookie season and how the fans adopted him. So it's going to be great. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of special moments, and that will probably be one of the most special ones.
Let's leave it at that point there. Well said, Ezzy. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're broadcasting on a special edition of Sports Radio 1290 live on Fab 94.3. We're down at Tavern United. Come join us. The party's going all night. It's filling up loud and proud here. The NHL is back in Winnipeg. Let's do it, Winnipeg. We're back live at Tavern United in downtown Winnipeg. My name is Drew Mandel. I'm the host of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, heard every Saturday morning on Sports Radio 1290. This is a special broadcast of Sports Radio 1290 live on Fab 94.3. Joined around the table by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Michael Remus is operating the R-Desk and is on air with us. You tweet at us at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. And, of course, visit our website at www.illegalcurve.com. We'll take some of your calls now. I want to hear from the listeners. 780-9430. You know, whatever you want to do, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts about how the day has progressed so far today? You know, what do you think? What do you want the team name to be? Who do you want to see the first opponent to be?
Will you buy tickets? Jets.
Will you buy season tickets?
I really hope it's the Jets.
Will you buy season tickets?
780-9430. If you're listening online, you can put a 204 in front of that. And if you're calling from out of town, 204-780-9430.
Because there are people who are saying, whether it be online or to us personally, from out of town, they're buying tickets.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of our fans on Twitter, I'm afraid her name escapes me at the moment, in Calgary, said that she's going to be buying a season ticket. People in Keith Kachuk sent a message. I'm not sure who the reporter was that he was talking to, maybe on Hockey Night in Canada radio, said he's buying a ticket. If you can, you know what the truth is, they're buying their tickets if they can get it. If they can get it. Yeah, he said he's buying a season ticket.
I have to compete with Keith Kachuk?
Well, I don't think it's much of a competition. You're going to lose. And it's not even going to be close.
He only made about $6 to $8 million a year for about 10 years.
And as you made $6 to $8,000 last year, so it's neck and neck.
I wish I made that much money.
780-9430 if you want to get in on the conversation here down live at Tavern United. You can come say hi to us. We're in the corner here. It is a party downtown in Winnipeg today.
That's just it, Drew. It's a party. I mean, for all that we're talking about, tickets, this and that, for one day. And remember, the ticket drive is not till tomorrow for the Moose people, right? This today, and there's a reason for that. Today is a celebration.
That's right.
You know, it's like the whole hockey cliche. Well, we'll worry about our opponent tomorrow. Let's just enjoy today. I mean, this is an enjoy. We're going to talk about a lot of things in the next few hours. But the overwhelming idea of this whole day and the overwhelming feeling, more importantly, of this whole day is the NHL is back. Everybody here has been waiting for it, and we're all ecstatic.
You know, I have a question for you guys. I was standing, you know, at Portage and Main watching the announcement on the big screen, and when Mark Chipman came up and said, I'm excited to say we have Percy and Atlanta Thrashers, I want to survey you guys. You don't have to sound like less of a man or anything. How many of you had a little bit of a tear in your eye? Come on.
I'm not afraid to admit it. I cried when they left, and I was tears of joy when they came back. Let's take our first caller of the evening. It's a guy we know well. He's called in. Really, I think he was with us on the Thursday night when the news first broke. He's been with us on Saturday morning.
Well, it's not Greg, Drew, because no. Greg's right here.
Steve from Calgary. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Steve, you there?
Hello?
Steve, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear Steve. I don't think he can hear us.
Steve, are you there?
No, I think we may have lost Steve. So if Steve's able to call back, 780-9430, area code 204-780-9430. You know, it's just it's quite the atmosphere here. It's been sort of been busy down at Tavern United all day long. But it's, you know, sort of dwindled, you know, in the mid-afternoon. I think people went to the Forks and they went to Portage and Main. And God forbid, I think some people went back to work even.
I know,
stunning. And now it's picked back up as the hour draws a little bit closer to the drinking area, as it were.
Think about it this way, Drew. You know, you had your season ticket drive, which you hope succeeds by the end of the weekend, right? Then you have, in theory, an unveiling of the team name, and then people get excited about that. And then you have the draft, and people get excited about that. And then you have free agency, and people get excited about that. This is going to be momentum moving forward to opening night. And
the
puck drop.
Yeah, before you know it.
The NHL offseason doesn't exist anymore, as we know.
That's right.
In our experience going through last summer and the summer before, there's always something going on, and the fans of Winnipeg can now personalize that because their team is back.
Yeah. Richie, I think someone said it earlier today. I've probably had like 7 or 8 beers, so I kind of forget a couple of things.
Dear God.
But somebody said that this is going to be the longest summer of their lives.
It's not going to be a long summer. It's going to fly by, I think. Look, the draft is what, June 25th?
23rd or 4th, I thought.
Sorry, it's the Friday, so it's the 24th. 24th and 25th.
We're going through.
Okay. So that's the 24th, 25th is the draft. That's 3 weeks from now.
A week later,
free agency. Friday, July 1st, free agency gets underway. And now that's now a national holiday in this city.
Right.
For the last couple of years, last 15 years, it's just been any other day. It's now back to being a national holiday where, I'm not going to go party. I'm going to stay at home and find out who our team has signed.
And I didn't even mention naming the management, naming the coach. This is going to be an unbelievable summer of hockey. Talking about hockey, getting excited about hockey.
I think we are back to with Steve from Calgary on line one. Let's try and we'll see if we got it worked out. Steve, are you there?
I am there. How are you doing today, guys?
Steve,
welcome back to the program. You've been with us for a number of weeks now.
Absolutely.
Now that it's finally come true, how do you feel?
I am so elated. It was such a low for me 15 years ago. I was actually in Chicago school. And I'm at work right now, and I'm rocking my Jets jersey. All my patients love it. They're in fact, I had a couple people come in because they walked by and saw my Jets jersey, and they thought it was cool, so they decided to get their eyes tested. But it's just been such a fantastic day for me. There's like thousands of Winnipeggers here in Calgary, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to meet up to celebrate later on tonight. I had chills down my spine. When I heard when someone asked Thompson that question, and he seemed so focused on building a winner. One of the things that I've noticed being here in Calgary is that seeing Daryl Sutter's reign, he was going with older players. He was out of touch with how the league had changed.
Right.
But this Thompson and Chipman, they look like they're very professional, and they look like they know how to build a winner, and you build the winner through the draft. It's virtually impossible to get really good players through free agency. Sidney Crosby is never going to become a free agent until he's like 50. So you have to draft well, and that's how you do it. So everything that you guys have been talking about today is absolutely dead on. One thing I would like to see is when Timu does come back to Winnipeg, they should give him a Jets jersey and let him go around in it during the warm-up. I think that would be really cool. Joe Sakic in Forsberg did that when the Avalanche played an exhibition game in Quebec. I'm so looking forward to the summer. Like I said, I hope you guys are going to be covering the draft. Do you have any plans for that at all?
We're trying to work everything out. Don't worry, there's only going to be one place you're going to need to go for all your Jets information.
Okay.
That's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That's Sports Radio 1290. That's www.illegalcurve.com.
And Steve,
we have it covered in its entirety.
Steve, we're going to do our best. We're on the Saturday morning of the draft.
Yep.
Doing our best to try and get information on something on Friday. I know there's a Gold Eyes game on the station, but don't you worry. We're going to do our best to get you as much of before the draft, as much possible about the top 10 pick
and
what it means to
Winnipeg.
That's
right. Worth noting, Steve, we appreciate the call. Stay tuned. Keep listening throughout the night. It's going to be a long night. It's going to be an exciting night, and we're glad that you're with us.
Thanks, Steve. Loves Steve's passion. Steve knows the game. He's exactly right about how you run the team. Daryl Sutter had a short-sighted vision. Didn't really seem like he had a plan. We talked about it earlier. David Thompson, Mark Chipman have a plan, it seems. And that plan runs throughout the organization, whether it be the Rooneys in Pittsburgh or Mike Ilitch in Detroit or the Crafts in New England. Strong, and that's a different sport. Strong ownership generally means success. Strong ownership with a vision. Another thing, Steve's calling from Calgary, Winnipegger. In Calgary. Got a text from my cousin in Calgary this morning. Oh, biggest Jets fan you're going to find before they left. Always skeptical, but if they'd return. Writes to me, 10:47 a.m. I can't believe this is actually happening. Holy. I'm like crying in my office right now watching TSN live.
And that's a commonplace. I've been hearing that common throughout the day today. 780-9430. If you're calling from out of town like Steve was, 204-780-9430. We want to hear from you. Are you going to buy season tickets? What do you think the team name should be? Who should the first opponent be? all of these are the now. These are now the questions that are reality. We can spend time trying to answer these questions because the team is back. For the last number of weeks, they've all been hypotheticals. Now they're reality.
You know, Drew, the best part about having this announcement finally be made is we don't have that, you know, the office Jim Pam, will they, won't they tension. It's all, now it's all reality. We all can go ahead. You know, I'm sick of hearing every day, oh, the announcement's going to be tomorrow. Oh, Gary Bettman's in Winnipeg. All of these rumors. They're done. It's over. There is so much closure here, and now we can finally move forward.
Reem, it's absolutely all business from here on in. I mean, there's a ticket drive starting tomorrow for loose season ticket holders. There's going to be a season ticket drive for everyone else starting Saturday. And like we were talking about, you know, 5 minutes ago, you know what? There's a draft coming up. There's free agency in about 5 weeks, 4 weeks even. It's business and it's fun. I mean, It almost to me feels like, I don't know about how you guys feel, but it almost feels like the piano is no longer above your head. the weight of the world is no longer on Winnipeg. We've got our team back, and hopefully, Drew, we're going to be able to, later on tonight, actually start talking about the on-ice team, the actual team that we're getting, and how we're going to, you know, be able to cheer for certain guys, because it's a young team, the Atlanta Thrashers, a.k.a. the new Winnipeg NHL team. And, you know, it's a team that I truly believe can compete for a playoff spot next year. They struggled a lot last year, but I think that we're getting a really young, exciting, fast team. And I think True North is going to do everything they can to improve that team very shortly and quickly.
Well, you know, this team was in with me. Let me get in on the ticket idea.
Yeah.
Spoke to somebody, Moose season ticket holder. What they're doing is they're breaking it up essentially Wednesday through Friday, I believe it is.
That's right.
Priority is the people who have been the long-standing ticket holders. Or, you know, if you're somebody who had Moose season tickets for the first time last year for the entire season, you're at, I think, Friday at a certain time. And then mini packs will be Friday at a later time.
That's right.
So they're giving, you know.
They're giving their longest-standing customers first priority. They're rewarding those who've been with them through thick and thin.
As they should.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
And we're
you dance with the girl you brought.
And we're not Moose. We've been to many Moose games, but we're not Moose season ticket holders. I don't think anybody begrudges the fact they are doing that. Again, I like the demonstration of loyalty. That to me is a sign of an organization that has everything in order. They have their principles in order, most importantly.
Given the amount of god-awful ownership groups we've seen in and around the NHL over the last two decades, to be comfortable and in the knowledge that this ownership group we have in Winnipeg is at the upper echelons of class is something that Winnipeggers can rest easy with on a nightly basis.
You know, don't forget also that Saturday is the day when the tickets go on sale to the general public, and you're just putting down a deposit. When you get to select your seat, if you put your deposit down before anyone else, you're going to get preferential treatment there.
First come, first serve on the website on Saturday. Now, that website is going to be...
Great idea, by the way.
That website is going to be Garbanzo's on Saturday. It's going to be absolute nuts.
We go off the air, and then it goes on.
How fast do you think it's going to crash, that website?
Well, I'm sure that they've got it somehow built so it doesn't crash, but...
It's in conjunction with Ticketmaster, so they should be fine. I've got a lot of experience buying tickets on Ticketmaster, and you've got some kind of wait list. You might have to wait for a few extra minutes,
but
it works pretty good.
Cycles or whatever. I mean, it's going to be absolute chaos on Saturday, as it is chaos here at Tavern United. You're listening to a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live from Tavern United downtown. It's a presentation of Sports Radio 290 on Fab 94.3. We're going to still be with you. We want to hear from you. Area code 204-780-9430. We want to hear what's on your mind. I mean, that's a good point. The tickets, I mean, look, there's a ton of people that we know who weren't Moose season ticket holders, who have been waiting for Saturday to come around, who I think will be disappointed. But, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. You're either going to be the lucky one or you're not.
Hey, if they're selling 13,000 season tickets, and that's their goal, you're still going to get a crack at individual game tickets. So, unfortunately, if that demand is higher than the supply, then that means that we're really in business, right?
That's a successful enterprise when your demand outstrips supply like that.
Right.
But it is interesting. I mean, there is a number, and I'm not 100% sure what the number was. I thought it was 10%. Yeah. That is the number that you cannot that you have to hold open for single game tickets.
Well, that'd be 13.5, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it seats 15. Yeah, 1500. That'd be 13.5. So, I mean, are they going to sell 13.5 or are they only going to sell 13? I don't know the answer to that question.
That's also a good question. Is that a minimum level or is that a max level?
That's right. But, I mean, I don't know that answer, but people will just keep prying as much as they can to try and get through here.
That's the question.
Andrew, right? Once again, for everyone listening who isn't aware of the website, drive413.com, True North will also be updating everyone as far as how the ticket drive is proceeding and any updates to the ticket drive. So
every day at 4:30 right. p.m. they have their new Jets meter, as it were.
They've done their best to continue to, again, the momentum towards an opening night. There's going to be a lot of publicity. It's been tailored to the new age of media, the technology age we're in, of social media, in your face all the time, and that works, and they should do that.
You know, I log on to Facebook today, and all I see, all my friends are liking Drive to 13, and you can follow Drive to 13 on Twitter even to keep track on that, so they're really doing just a great job.
How many followers do they have, Drew?
Let me go there right now. I got the computer open here. Remus, you do that. You're the operator of the R desk for a reason on a weekly basis. This is why we have Remus around. He's a whiz with the computer as it is. See, I'm going to only speak in rhyme for the rest of the show.
You know, Drew, we've talked about True North and how good of a job they've done with the MTS Center, bringing in world-class acts. There isn't an act that hasn't come to that arena. And that arena, you know, we're in Winnipeg here.
Yeah.
We're 700,000+ people, and we've packed that arena when a single act has come through. When you talk about how well they've done with that arena and how well they've done with unveiling this ticket drive, it's really impressive because has almost become something that is a side story here, which is, can we prove that we're actually going to sell out that arena? And I will put my life and word on it that we will sell out that arena.
That's a good point you made about concerts and about where Winnipeg's. I mean, Winnipeg's an isolated community. Yeah. If a concert's coming, you know, usually when people are on tour, they like to go places, you know, that are close to other places. There's no other major metropolitan city within an 8-hour drive of Winnipeg. So when U2 comes here, it's not like they can just, you know, it's a stop in four cities in a row that they can hit. They have to make a point of coming to Winnipeg, and they know that they need to get 100% occupancy in their stadium or their venue to make it a worthwhile venture. And since the True North, since the MTS Center was opened, bands and concerts and shows and everything else have been confident in knowing that they are going to get a big crowd. And that's what makes it worth their while to come to Winnipeg on a regular basis. Remus, you know how many followers it has.
Yeah, Drive to 13,000. It's been on the air, you know, 14, 12 likes on Facebook. Oh. And on Twitter, they're already up to 600 followers. So you know what? It just started, you know, a few hours ago. But it's going to be gaining steam. And I'm sure everyone in Winnipeg is going to be tuned to that meter to see how fast we get to 13,000.
I suspect by Sunday, these will all be taken care of. And then after that, it's just going to be the people picking their seats. I just don't see how it... No, I don't want to get people's hopes up. And people are still going to have to pony up, and they're still going to have to line up, and they're still going to have to do what they can to support this team. It just doesn't seem like it can fail to me. Even with the 3-year commitment, even with the 4-year commitment.
Well, they did a great job selling it this morning. Jim Ludlow was up there showing you how much it costs monthly.
$70 a month.
For some. And we talked about it earlier. Two movies, some popcorn, a drink.
That's right.
$70 a month.
If you're a family of four and you're going to a movie, you're dropping $70, and you're not even, and there's no way around it almost.
This almost seems too good. I mean, I almost feel like it's an infomercial right now. It's obviously not. Pinch me, Drew. Pinch me, Drew, right now, because the NHL is coming back to Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's just it.
Don't give me the opportunity. I'll take you up on that offer. 204-780-9430 is the phone number if you want to get hold of us here down at Tavern United. 780-9430 if you're calling from inside Winnipeg.
You feel the passion in Ezra's voice.
Yeah.
And you can't.
You can also feel the beer in my voice.
You can't. You can't fake that though. You can't fake the passion.
That's true.
And that's the thing. And you look around the tavern right now, and it's quite busy. It's packed. People are talking. You know what? I always talk about it. Since '96, there's probably been four times that this city has been united over a hockey team. That was a 98 for the Olympics, 2002 the Olympics, 2006, and 2010. Four times in 15 years. Now, every single day, we're united over a team, something to talk about, something to be passionate about collectively.
You know, for guys on the radio like us, it's not a bad deal. It's not a bad deal. You know, I think I can get on board with that sort of thing. I'd also throw in the World Junior Tournament in 99 on there.
Sure, Drew. I'm talking about most people like the World Junior.
Yeah.
But everybody likes the Olympics.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I mean, the World Junior, I think, is...
The top-notch hockey in the world.
Is the Olympics. And
NHL players.
Yeah, NHL players are going to be back in Winnipeg. I mean, no longer just the exhibition game, which, I mean, don't think for a second that getting 13,000, 15,000 people to that, you know, relatively god-awful exhibition game year
exactly
in and
right.
year out
yep.
doesn't show something to the NHL.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Every year, 13,000 people. The game played half their best players, and their best players were on cruise control.
That's right. So, I mean, it makes a world of difference. People want... The NHL expect, whoa, they get 15,000 for an exhibition game featuring eight scrubs from a beer league team. You know, it's a great symbol. That's what we had to do. Looks like we got another caller calling from long distance from Toronto. Zach from Toronto. You're on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Zach, good evening. How's the atmosphere in Toronto tonight?
Hey now, guys.
Hey now. How's the atmosphere in Toronto? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm a little bittersweet for me because I wish I was in Winnipeg celebrating with you guys, but at least I don't have to pretend to be a Leafs fan anymore, you know?
Yeah, hang on. You were even pretending to be a Leafs fan?
Well, I had to. I had no one else to cheer for, but now that we got our team back, you know, I'll be wearing the whatever jersey it is proud every time they're playing.
I mean, that's great. Well, is there a lot of chatter about it in Toronto there, Zach? Is it, have people given, I mean, obviously people know that you're from Winnipeg there, but aside from that aspect, have you been hearing about it on the streets or anything?
Yeah, it's everywhere. You know, I just walked up and I'm just up at the rooftop here at my apartment and people are talking about it, people I don't even know. And, you know, it's a great thing for Canada in general, I think. And people have definitely taken notice across the country, in my opinion.
How excited are you, Zach? I mean, just... In the overall scheme of things, you've been following the situation closely, whether it be Phoenix, you've been calling into our show weekly, whether it be Atlanta. It's finally come to fruition. Speculation is over. And now Winnipeg has a National Hockey League team. Emotionally, how does it feel for you?
I got to tell you, this morning I woke up and I couldn't believe it, you know, that the day had arrived and it was happening and it was real. And, it was hard not to be emotional all day. I was struggling at work to focus, just thinking about it. It's an incredible thing after so long and after all the anticipation and all the speculation. You're speechless at this point, aren't you?
You have to be. Like yourself, I woke up this morning, I rolled over, I grabbed my phone, I grabbed Twitter first and foremost because I had a hunch there'd be some news there based on what was happening last night and everything. And when I saw that, you know, pretty much official, and then Richie started calling me and... You know, and Remus started calling.
Before 7 o'clock,
yeah.
We were on the phone.
Wait, exactly. When we're talking on the phone before 7 o'clock,
and we both
Vegas
didn't
happened.
Sound tired.
Yeah, exactly. Immediately, a snap to attention. We're joined now. Zach from Toronto, thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening. Keep it tuned to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks, guys.
Go ahead.
You know what I was going to say? And, you know, we talked to Zach from Toronto, but in terms of hockey fans from around Canada and around North America, it seems like anyone who's a hockey fan is excited for Winnipeg to get the team back, excited for hockey to return to, you know, where people actually like hockey. And we got this tweet from Dustin underscore AKA underscore D. He says, you know, I'm a Red Wings fan, a passionate fan to a passionate base. I've always felt your loss. Glad to see your team come home. You know what? I just think that's what everyone in Canada and North America is feeling right now for us.
The game belongs in this country. It really does. It belongs in the United States in certain markets. But it first and foremost really does belong in this country. You know, be like Dustin. You can tweet us at Illegal Curve. You know, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. Phone us 780-9430, area code 204 in front of that.
We want to hear from the fans. This is
That's
a celebration.
That's right. We want to hear from the fans. We're joined now by Jay Rickson. You know him from the 99.9 Bob FM morning show with Jay and Andrea in the morning. You also know him as the public address announcer at the MTS Center. Jay, we've been together going on about,
infinity
10
hours, right
10 hours
there,
or so at this point. You know, same high for you?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. This is, for me personally, I've been a
I've been a proponent of the of Winnipeg being an NHL market for well since the Jets left back in 1996. So this is not something. This is not a high that's going to fade anytime in the near future. This is definitely something that's going to carry through. And I'm hoping I get to have an opportunity to be involved in the team some way, shape, or form or another. I guess we'll find out over the next little bit. But regardless, I'm so happy that a wrong has been righted, and it feels like a mistake has finally been corrected. And I don't have to cheer for the Calgary Flames anymore, which I don't know how
you did it.
You know what? It came to a point. I was kind of a Habs and a Jets fan back in the day, and the Jets left. I floated around for a while. I didn't know what to do. I eventually decided after the lockout that I couldn't cheer for an American-based hockey team after I kind of perceived them as the reason, especially relocated American hockey team, perceived them as the reason why the NHL was in trouble and kind of left Winnipeg in the first place and kind of adopted the Flames as my team of choice just based on geographical closeness. And I'm very happy to say that I don't have to do that anymore, and I can finally cheer for the team that's in my home province, in my home city.
Okay, I mean, I won't bust on you too hard for that. I mean, that's a good explanation.
Bust on me all you want. I defy you.
It's a Flames jersey.
Yes.
Oh, you know, my God.
One of those, hey, in my defense, it was one of those cheap Chinese knockoffs, okay. Right?
Well, unless it was an Atlanta Flames jersey, then it would not have been appropriate. But, I mean, you look around.
We all had to do some things that we're not proud of over the past 15 years, guys.
You're exactly right. I mean, the thought of, you know, it was never going to happen, but the thought of people in Winnipeg, Jets fans, walking around wearing Canucks jerseys.
Especially kids, Drew.
Walking, you know.
Coach Hockey and all the kids are Canucks, Flames, Oilers, Leafs, Habs, or Senators fans. Well, you're going to have them come in wearing Bufflin jerseys, Kane jerseys, Bogosian jerseys, and Ladd jerseys.
That's great.
And that's the way it should be.
Exactly. Absolutely.
That's how we grew up. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it just makes it easier now that they don't have that. They really don't even have that option anymore because, you know, kids will make fun of them if they wear jerseys like that.
Especially by the time we get back into the Northwest Division,
exactly.
People are going to rip on you if you wear an Oilers jersey.
Did your kids have Flames jerseys?
No, not at all. Because I always had a suspicion and I always had faith that this was going to happen. My kids love the Moose. They go to Moose games all the time. So, I mean, they kept the professional hockey in Manitoba dream alive for the past few years, and that's been their team of choice. They're young. They don't quite understand the difference between AHL and NHL hockey.
You
but
can
it's
mold them.
Exactly. It's an easy transition to go from cheering for the Moose to cheering for, I mean, who knows? It could even be the Moose is the name we end up with in the NHL.
That's right.
So.
We don't know what the name's going to be yet. And, I mean, we want to hear from you. What do you think the name should be? 780-9430, area code 204, 780-9430. You can tweet us at Illegal Curve. You can send us your messages at www.illegalcurve.com. You can always email us info@illegalcurve.com. You know, what team have you cheered for the last 15 years? What are you now going to cheer for? Are you going to stick with your team? If you've been a Canucks fan since 96, are you still a Canucks fan? Or are you burning that jersey before game one tomorrow night?
Yeah.
You know, these are the questions that people, I want to hear answers from real hockey fans.
If you're a Canucks fan, I will give you an amnesty until the end of the Stanley Cup Finals.
No amnesties.
Come on.
It's a brand new world today.
You can't ask them to jump off the bandwagon when they're on the verge of maybe winning a Stanley Cup.
What were they doing on that bandwagon to begin with?
What else of the choice do we had? It was a desperate situation for Winnipeg hockey fans.
Well,
you had to make some bad decisions.
You cheer for a good game, and that's it. You don't cheer for a team and the Jets. I can't imagine cheering for the Canucks. I see Burray sliding into the goal and get us losing in game
six.
Greg Adams sliding into the goal and us losing in game
bitter.
Six. Yeah, Richard doesn't have a poster of Greg Adams up that he's been throwing darts at for years.
Let me say, I'm a Canucks fan. I own multiple Canucks jerseys. I got Naslin, big fan of Burray. But as soon as, you know, the article came out a few weeks ago about the announcement, I pretty much stopped caring about the playoffs. I mean, maybe I'm not a true Canucks
playoffs
fan,
are going on?
But I really just... Is there a game tomorrow? I really have no idea.
I heard something about some games.
Yeah, rumor has it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Joe from Winnipeg.
Hey,
good, Joe. How you doing?
Oh, it's been a marathon day, and we're going to continue on with it now, going for some beers.
Attaboy, Joe.
Come down, join us at Tavern United, Joe.
Well, I think that might be a plan.
That's a good
plan. with the names, you know, Atlanta's lost a team already. Calgary's at the Flames. I don't have a problem with actually keeping the name the Thrashers and, you know, sticking with, you know, the tradition of the franchise. And, you know, the Flames team served Calgary well, and hopefully, you know, the Thrashers can serve winning as well with the Stanley Cup.
Now, I heard we have the Go Jets go in the background. Now I heard that the Thrashers name is actually being kept by Atlanta Spirit Group.
That's right.
Hang on, let this breathe, boys.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah. Don Waddell in his, I guess, retirement press conference or whatever it's going to be earlier today said that the Thrashers name is going to be staying with the Atlanta Spirit Group, staying in Atlanta.
Well,
so I don't believe that.
They'll make lots of money on retro sales, eh?
Yeah,
that's right.
Something like that. I don't think the Thrashers name is going to come with with the team.
But Joe, is your preference first and foremost to have it named the Jets, as you heard the chant in the back of?
Well, you know what? I used to think that would be the way to go, but you know what? It's a different franchise. You know what? If Phoenix had been here, I would have felt pretty strongly about it being the Jets. But it's not the same franchise. It might be time, you know, to build a new tradition and a fresh start with a new name.
You know what? That seems to have been the general consensus from everybody I've talked to is if the Phoenix Coyotes came back here, it would have been a slam dunk. That would have been no question the name that we would have gone with. And I'm on your side. I would be all in favor of a new name before today, because I came down to downtown Winnipeg, the tavern here. I saw what was going on at the Forks. I saw what was going on at Portage and Main. And the number of Jets jerseys and the passion that people have for this name. I know I've seen the polls that have been online, and I've seen the outpouring of support for it. Mm. I didn't buy in until today. And hearing Go Jets, Go chants all over the place. Yeah. If we name the team the Jets again, I would have absolutely no problem with that at all.
You know,
absolutely. I wouldn't have a problem with that either. But,
Joe, we appreciate the call.
I'm just happy to have an NHL team in Winnipeg. They can call whatever they want.
Well put, Joe. Thanks for the call. We appreciate all your support over the last little while.
Okay, thank you.
You know, when you talk about the name, you know, I think the fact that they haven't announced a name yet is people want to go and buy merchandise and want something to shop for. You know, we're sitting here talking about, oh, whatever the team may be. But how many people do you think have gone out in the past few days and gone out and bought a Jets jersey or Jets apparel because they don't know what's available?
I said this earlier. I mean, I woke up this morning. My fiance said to me, do you want a surprise now or do you want the surprise later? I said, I'll take it now. She pulled out a Jets jersey.
Nice.
She went out and bought me a Jets jersey last night in anticipation for today.
Well, a good point by Anthony Stewart, who was on Twitter, I guess, and now a member of the Winnipeg NHL franchise, a restricted free agent as part of the team, said he preferred it be named the Jets. He doesn't want everybody to have to go out and buy new uniforms if they already have them. I believe Anthony Stewart came up from a fairly...
Yes, he had a troubled upbringing.
Upbringing where money wasn't flowing necessarily. That's a good point to take into account.
Yeah, very
too.
Good point.
Yeah, because you're right. Every kid in the city that, you know, is going to want a jersey, and, you know, it's an expensive proposition to buy these things. So, I mean, I have no problem. I think they're going to be the Manitoba Jets, personally.
I'm fine.
Perfectly fine with that.
People just want Go Jets Go.
Yeah. I'm perfectly fine with Manitoba Jets. I think I got no problem with that at all. It's been a community-wide, it hasn't been a Winnipeg-only endeavor that's made this a reality.
No,
it's been a province-wide, you know, they can call it the Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Northwestern Ontario Jets, for that matter.
And you're absolutely right as far as what our reach is going to have in order to make this successful. I mean, we're going to need people from, and every time everybody brings up the population and says we're only 75,000 or 750,000 people, everybody as a rebuttal brings up the fact that, you know, well, if you take into account surrounding areas in northwestern Ontario and North Dakota and Saskatchewan, then we're well over a million. So we're really going to be more of a regional team, I think, than a lot of other teams in the NHL. So Manitoba, as far as a name, couldn't be more perfect. It couldn't be more perfect to have them as a regional team and be something that people can embrace all over the place. Because how many people do you know from, I know I have relatives in the Paw, that far north, and they're completely jacked to come down here and check out a few games.
They make a trip out to see it. I mean, look, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have become successful because it's not just the Regina Rough Riders, it's the entire province of Saskatchewan. They've made the team for the entire province. This will be the team for the entire province of Manitoba. It will be our team and our as a community, not our as a city. That's what it's going to boil down to.
Well put, Jeff.
Thank you. 780-9430, area code 204-780-9430. How are you feeling today, the culmination of really 16 years of waiting, wishing, has finally arrived. We want to hear what you have to say. Who's your team going to be? What team do you want to see here play here first? What's the team name? Are you going to buy season tickets? All those good questions. I mean, you know, it's going to be tough for a lot of people to figure out how many games they can afford to go to on a yearly basis. But, you know, they'll work. I think people will split tickets together, and they'll find a way to make it happen, because, you know, they already find a way to go to a lot of events on a daily basis in the city.
We saw the pricing structure that True North put out earlier today. With that pricing structure in mind, do you guys think a lot of people are going to be going to the point where they're calling up a bunch of buddies to go in on a pair of season tickets, where you have, because there was only, from what I saw, an option for a half season pack on the lower two tiers of season tickets. Can you see a lot of people going in on like a P3 or a P4 or P5, as he announced earlier today?
You know, I've been talking to a friend at my office, and him and maybe 8 to 10 guys, they're planning on going maybe a P4. And, you know, the most exciting part about going in a group of tickets with a group of friends like this is, you know, you get to, when the schedule comes out, you'll get to draft and choose your seats. And
that's exciting. Doesn't that excite you?
What was that movie with with Jimmy Fallon and the Red Sox where they had that?
Fever Pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible movie.
But that was, they divvied up the 81 right. games or whatever they got at Fenway they figured out, okay, I want the Yankees in this series.
Do you take the Habs on a Saturday night? Or do you take the Canucks prime time on a Sunday night?
Good Lord. I'm so glad that we're having these arguments instead of, right?
Exactly. It's a good argument to have.
Can Winnipeg support an NHL franchise?
And these are the arguments we're going to have all night long down here at Tavern United next to the MTS Center. You're listening to a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live. It's a special presentation of Sports Radio 1290 live on Fab 94.3. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back, more of your calls, more of this discussion, more fun. Stay with us, Winnipeg. We're here for a while.